Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Essence of the Upanishads. The title is Philosophy and Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Philosophy of Vedanta. Three times we speak peace, that relate to three types of troubles that everyone experiences in this world. Troubles arising from your body and mind. Adhyatmic thought, the Sanskrit word for that type of trouble is tap. Tap literally means heat. Fire. Three fires are consuming you constantly. Your body is known as deha, dahyate. It's on fire. And you don't want to be cold either. You have to always have a certain degree of fire within you. So, first type of fire, speaking more in a psychological way, is all the mental torments, worries, anxieties, problems arising out of body and mind. Next type of trouble that arises from things, people, objects outside of yourself. You have three great insecurities with which you come into the world. Insecurity about yourself. You don't know what you have inherited, what karmas are behind you. You don't even know your bones unless you go through get x-rays or CAT scan. And then, another insecurity, you never know what's going on in the world. What's the climate, political climate? What's the economical climate? How things are moving in the world? So many wars and so many painful things can occur. Sometimes ordinary, just like you're walking by and just your step upon a big thorn. It doesn't convince you much walking by, and some dust particle enters your eyes. It spoils your fun. You go to Niagara Falls to look at the falls and the grandeur of nature with open eyes, and suddenly something sticks in right at that. Adhibhautik tap. It can come from ordinary, just little scorpions, mosquitoes. It can come from people around you. The world is never secure. It can come from any source. You step on a banana peel, and generally human mind becomes so filled with so many tragedies and troubles that are there in the world. Your mind goes on thinking, so much trouble. You don't realize that if God's backing is there, nothing can hurt you. But if your negative karma is predominating, then even the whole world is full of peace and harmony and everybody is wonderful. Right, even in the bathtub, you may get into an accident. So why to torment the mind? Once you have that understanding of God's support, your mind should remain absolutely free of all worries. If you don't have God's support, and only support you have is from an ego. The ego is a very tricky support. Complete illusion. It's better to have a monkey's support. So, touched upon two troubles. Troubles from body and mind. Adhyatmic, subjective. Troubles from world outside of you. That trouble can be human beings, can be animals, birds, that can be any cause of pain and injury. Third type of trouble always broods over all, that's called adhidaivik, act of God. Generally, by act of God is meant what is beyond human imagination. Earthquakes, for example, hurricanes. Coincidentally, hurricane is uses two words, hurry and cane. Lord Hurry is a stick. Jokingly, I'm trying to say that all is act of God. You never know. The world, the earth, planet has gone through so many turmoils. Villages have been swept away. Thousands and thousands of people have been destroyed. One little upset. Mountains have crumbled. New mountains have emerged. And if that doesn't convince you, look into the vast sky with countless stars, Milky Way. You never know what type of meteorite is whirling and will one day come and smash with the earth planet. I'm saying all these not to frighten you, but these are facts. You are constantly moving in a space like a little aircraft. And therefore, with three types of troubles enfolding you, it is ignorance that keeps one safe. As long as you don't know those troubles, you are quite all right. But the ideal safety comes by wisdom, by coming closer to God. And therefore, in the beginning itself of every study, spiritual study, a prayer is offered. It's a kind of prayer. May there be peace. Peace in all these three aspects. Because if you have taken up your study and peace is disturbed, you will not complete it. You have started your sadhana and come into the whirlpool or storm of these troubles, then you will have to go into another embodiment to follow your sadhana. So there is a prayer, a wish, within this lifetime, let me attain enlightenment. So therefore, let these threefold troubles be kept away from me. Now we are entering into the Upanishad. Sukesha, the son of Bharadwaja, and Satyakama, son of Shibi, and Gargya, the grandson of Surya, Kaushalyas, son of Ashwala, Bharadwaja, the son of Vidarbhi, all these names are not so important. Just I'm reciting them. Six great personalities, they come to sage Pippalada. They approach the revered Pippalada with fuel in their hands, thinking that he would explain spiritual secrets that they wanted to understand. This simply gives you an idea of tradition and what it implies. In old times, saintly personalities, they lived more in forests. Forests always give you the opportunity for satsanga, or satsanga with nature. And it's more congenial, more harmonious for practice of meditation, more relaxing. If you don't have a nature around you, then you require a lot of words to convince you that it's important to relax. But you have nature around you. Simply you are asked, go by the lake, sit there. You don't need any more convincing. Even some birds coming around you convinces you that things are okay. Relax. So therefore, that was the idea of the old tradition. Presently, the education has taken a different turn. The more concrete walls are around you and the more mechanical things around you, think it's the best school you have come to. It's the best university. You can never see the light of the sun, never breathe the breeze of the open atmosphere. All this I'm not describing for discouraging you. All that has their own value. So they come to the guru in a scenic, enchanting place, maybe mostly by the banks of a river. or where two rivers have made a confluence, and they come with fuel in their hands, which has two practical purpose. There is practical purpose and there is a mystical implication. Practical, all those, in those times, of course, you always needed fuel. We didn't have all the technological abilities of fire. So people brought sticks and whatever they could pick up so that it goes into the kitchen. But that aspect is insignificant. But what it implies, they bring those sticks, etc., a bunch of fuel, as if praying to before the Guru, that just as these sticks are going to be consumed by fire, may you consume my karma. I have come to have my karmic bundle completely burnt up. If it helps your kitchen, it's good. That rishi said to them, stay here another year with austerity, brahmacharya, and faith. Then you may ask questions as you please, and if I know them, I will surely explain all that to you. Imagine, for people who are very practical minded, the first response comes that you are permitted to be in the ashram. Be in the ashram atmosphere. After a year, you come and present your questions. Don't take it literally. What it implies that if you are well prepared, you have developed the qualities of an aspirant, then your mind will be really focused on the most poignant questions, the questions that really mean great for you and which will bring a tremendous change in you. Therefore, while living in the ashram, all the time students will go on studying Upanishads, going into satsang, listening to all things. Along with it, they do some seva. Ashram has its own projects and they do according to their capacity. So as you go on doing it, your heart will become purified and then you are coming into the grip of real questions. This is a matter of fact. It is not a matter of discipline. The teacher has put a discipline. He's given you a calendar and marked down this is the date you have to come. Until then, you just stay out. There is a big difference between what you read and what it actually means. Some students may come back, may live there in the ashram for 2 or 3 months and may start gaining the heights of Vedantic knowledge. Some may have to live longer. But the basic point is to have to live. The main importance on 3 points. Shraddha. You must not develop a feeling that I'm trying it out. It may be, may not be. And then you go on asking every person, have you been fulfilled, satisfied? Do you find the Guru is the right one? And then your mind goes on wavering. Then you hear someone coming from another area, say, oh, that's there, the people who have attained enlightenment. The Guru just touches the head and he attained enlightenment. And you say, why not I should go there also? If very faith is lacking, so try to have that more stability within yourself. Things that you want to learn, things of great quality, you know that only authoritative people can teach that. So by just running around, you can't gain the knowledge. So this much of faith, that this is here is the authority. And that once that is settled, your mind is not running around. Also, faith blossoms as you do your sadhana and enrich your personality by good qualities. Then you discover there is amazing strength within yourself. difficult situations and you tide over them because of your faith. Faith takes its turn, like faith in yourself, faith in God, faith in Guru, and faith in the scriptures. All that begins to, it's like a tree. All the branches start coming. Next term, brahmacharya, for most ashrams and monasteries, simply means a life of celibacy. But that's not neither here nor there. It implies a type of conduct that leads you to Brahman. Brahmacharya, nothing to do with any other implication. But naturally, to move towards Brahman, all the vikaras must move away from your mind. Vikaras are malos, malas, impurities of the mind. So therefore, you have to go on looking into your mind and removing the illusions that create anger, hate, greed, passion, and so forth. The more your mind becomes clear, greater is your brahmacharya. It is not one-sided, just only be a person is a celibate, therefore is brahmacharya. So that leads to many perversions. I will not go into details. And the next point is austerity. Austerity is three types of discipline. Physical austerity, how you are utilizing your body. With always physical activities, everyone has to perform day by day. Don't present your body in an arrogant manner before a reverential person. That's just one item. Bodies and its expressions put in a righteous order, that's physical austerity. Then your speech, how to control your speech. Satyam vada, priyam vada. How can you be more and more truthful? At the same time, more and more pleasing. Generally, people who become truthful, they think that it doesn't matter if truth hurts people, it doesn't matter, I'm speaking the truth. That's what the scripture says. But then there is a statement, satyam vada, priyam vada. If you want to speak the truth, ask yourself, is it reaching the person in a gentle way? If it is not, keep quiet. Navada satyam apriyam. Do not try to hurt people in the name of truth. Because we are speaking the truth not for the sake of truth, for the sake of hurting someone. So there are many things involved, and that requires discipline of the speech. There are more details given in the Gita. And that is a mental austerity. Mental austerity is your practice of concentration, practice of devotion to God. So austerity, faith, and brahmacharya. These threefold disciplines are the highlights of an aspirant. And as you go on practicing it, the year limit is just a symbol. Implying his guru says, for a year, go on practicing this. And then you come to me, if I know, I'll leave. There again, the subtle point is that if you have not practiced well, and you come before a guru, you'll find guru doesn't know your problem. Because whatever he speaks, you can't understand it. It's only when you are well prepared, that when the guru says, time, space are illusory, then you won't ask back, then why did he create the world? If time and space is illusory. In other words, your mind goes on into a vicious circle. But if you are well prepared, teachings settle in your heart fast. And with this we conclude. Om